The following program is rated TV-MAL. It contains strong language and is intended only for mature audiences.
TBS, America's number one independent television network, presents the following sports exclusive.
You're listening to Basically a Sports Show.
Follow us on Twitter at Basically Sports.
Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes.
And check out every episode of the show at basicallysports.tumblr.com.
Now here's your hosts, Zach,
Greg,
Mike.
And this is Andy, and you're listening to Basically a Sports Show.
So here we are, guys, number 523. Let's get into it. What a week, huh?
The fundamental, like, core of this podcast, like, basis was talking about things we saw on TV, essentially, with a sports lean. And I feel like, I mean, I know for a fact that I watched the Bears game, which does not qualify as football. But aside from that, I didn't watch any sports. I mean, there really wasn't much else but NFL on, but I didn't watch any of it. I imagine most everyone spent like 3 days watching just county maps for the better part of every day. And
literally from sunrise to sunset every day.
And now it's only, and I think that, and not that we're necessarily, I mean, you know, we talked a little bit before the show started about how we want to kind of approach this. And, you know, I think just from a stance of somebody who is, you know, trying to take the high road, that we should just kind of talk more around the issue and say, like, how did you guys, I'm curious how every one of us dealt with either before, during, or after those stressful few days. What'd you guys do to keep your mind occupied, or what'd you watch to distract yourself?
I kind of stopped following the results Tuesday night. But like I said, I've been through, you know, I don't know how many of these things since I started voting. And I could see from the start, like when it came down to, and the way I projected it, and I'm a total geek about this stuff. I don't give a shit about the politics part of it. I love the board game aspect of an electoral college map. And I kept saying, like, this thing is riding totally on Michigan and Wisconsin. I mean, everybody can talk about Ohio, Florida, even Arizona to an extent. But it's like, if he can't take those two states, I don't see a way to do it. So once they were kind of like, yeah, we're not, you know, Wisconsin came in. I'm like, okay, that's that. Michigan was close. I thought, all right, that's it. You know, it's going to be Biden. And I don't know. I haven't been following a lot of the follow-up stuff, but I know they're saying there's voter fraud and there's irregularities and all that. Okay, fine. Then let the legal system do its thing. But I think that you're chasing a rabbit down a hole, and you're not going to catch the rabbit. You're done. It's over. You've lost, and that's that.
It is worth noting that the Trump campaign has not actually produced any evidence of voter fraud.
But I don't know if it was in Georgia or Michigan. I don't remember which. But the Secretary of State in one of those two states has sent in an investigation over what they called voting irregularities. And that could just be something as simple as there was a software glitch or whatever. And like I said before the show, I was alive and fully immersed in the 2000 election. I was an Al Gore supporter. And I said, let it all play out because it has to be blah, 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 blah. And I can't be a hypocrite today and go, you know what? There's some things that don't look quite right here. But so what? We don't like the guy that lost, so fuck it. Let's just go ahead and go.
The difference is, the difference of course is that in 2000, you know, we're talking a razor thin margin in one state. Like, I think at the end, the official tally only had Bush winning by like what, less than 1,000 votes in that state,
502 or something like that.
Yeah, something crazy. It was like at the 500. Mm-hmm. So you're talking like a crazy thin margin, which is not the case in these states that Trump is contesting. Like, you know, you look at.
No, but I still say that
he also has. If Trump wanted to fight all this back and somehow take back his seat, he'd have to do this in 4-5 states.
Right. I agree with all of that. I'm not disputing any of that. I'm saying that if they believe, If one campaign believes that there are things they need to investigate, then we should let them investigate it.
And not only that, but like they have been in court. Like they were
The 10 lawsuits that have been decided on as of right now, post the 10 post election day lawsuits that have been decided, the Trump campaign and their allies have lost all 10 of them.
Okay, yeah, when they've lost them all, we'll go home.
Like they've laughed. There's been no evidence suggested that there has been any voter fraud.
Said voter fraud. I said there have been allegations of voter fraud, and there have been instances of voting irregularity. That doesn't mean that I'm saying that somebody's trying to steal an election from anybody else. I'm saying let's make sure we get everything right, because you know what? I don't want to be in December going hearing people go, fuck, they never counted this, they never did that. So just let it play out.
Well, again, I think what we're dealing with here a little bit, just in this vacuum of the four of us, especially Greg, I feel like there's a lot of issue with semantics and sort of like, I didn't say this, here's what I meant. And it's like, I don't think we should like mince words, really. It's like, this is kind of above and beyond all of us. And I think we all know that everyone in here has got a good heart and pretty good person. So, Mike. I mean, Mike's not a good person, but for the most part,
not. Those Canadians are sketchy. Always have been.
Mike, he's not right? A good.
But
look. No, I'm just saying that I get what you're saying, Mike, and I don't disagree with any of it. I don't. All I'm saying is that to make sure that we don't end up with people like, I don't know what the fuck they might end up doing. But I don't want to give them any opportunity or any reason to do it.
But what I'm saying is that, like, if there are any irregularities, if there was a glitch, or if there was, you know, a box of ballots somewhere, you know, found that they didn't count, the likelihood that that Trump makes up the tens, sometimes hundreds of thousands of vote deficit in enough states to actually change this is not going to happen. No, and so, it's that's why I think the 2000 comparison is not a good one, because in 2000, it was one state in a razor, razor thin margin. And so in that case, let's make sure. But here it's like,
no. It's if there are irregularities, and if election boards are saying there have been irregularities, it doesn't matter if it's razor thin. Or, I mean, we all know that he can't win.
Yeah, you can't win.
My point is this: you still have to let it play out, because you just have to do that.
So if he can't win, then why are we sitting here because we don't know
with 100% certainty. We're 99.9% sure.
I'd say even more than that. I mean, well, like,
but whatever. Well, it's just the way the system works.
So I mean,
I'm fine with that. And if you know, if you guys have, if you're not, that's fine too. I mean, that's just my opinion. I think that we should let it play out, because the less excuses we have for people to run around going, they stole the election.
They're going to say that anyway, though. This could get all the way to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court could unanimously say, there are, you know, Trump, you lost.
Right.
And he's still going to go out there and go, they stole the election from me. It doesn't matter.
But at least I don't argue the point that there is a portion of his supporters that are going to do exactly that. But let's leave no doubt for everybody else.
Right. Greg, where Greg is coming from, in my opinion, is that like essentially it's like turning in a report I'm filling, and basically we need to let the bibliography and sources fill itself out. Because essentially, like, the wheels of justice move so slowly for the most part, and that things of this nature get so big, they take time. Like, it's not going to be as long as some might worry it might be, because, I mean, typically these things, there's been a few trials have already been thrown out, and very notably just immediately because of lack of evidence. But if they want to waste their time and let the, you know, court system just kind of laugh them out of the room, then let them. You know,
right,
there's no
exactly.
It's like a waste of taxpayer money. But like, that's what the president's been doing anyway for the last 4 years.
It's like, I mean, that's
the government.
The thing that comes to mind, and I'm well aware that Trump hasn't done this, at least not yet. But it is just sort of how it does kind of reflect how I view these sort of things. A few years back when there was that opening in the Alabama Senate, and it was between Doug Jones, a Democrat, and Roy Moore. Yeah, Roy Moore. The pedophile, you know, the pedophile who wanted to put the Ten Commandments out, and
that was the two things you think of, right?
And pedophile.
I think that was his party name on the ticket.
But you know, Doug Jones, you know, won that election. It was a huge thing. It's like, holy shit, a Democrat won in Alabama, and Roy Moore tried to stop the official like certification of the results by going to a court and going like, we are alleging that there was voter fraud. And the court was like, okay, like, what's your argument for that? And he produced basically a report, which was produced by a known Holocaust denier, that basically amounted to too many black people voted for the other guy. And so I know Trump hasn't stooped to that level yet, but at the same time, it's like, yes, the justice system, the system is what it is, and the system will deal with all of this, you know, shit as it comes in. But given the absurdity, and yet, again, Trump hasn't stooped that low yet, but he has basically done, like, his lawsuits have amounted to, like, there were vote, like, he goes before, like, his lawyers will go before a judge. There's voter fraud. The judge goes, okay, what's your proof? We have none. Okay, get the fuck out of my courtroom. And it's like,
it's that, or if we have it, we're just not going to show it to you
and,
yet.
But and it's like,
guys, I know that if there was voter fraud, I really, really seriously doubt that it was enough to swing an entire fucking election.
But see, that's my point. It's like, I don't feel the need to like treat this with kid gloves. It's like, yes. Do I believe that the court system should be allowed to deal with this in its own time?
I'm not treating it with kid gloves. I'm saying that
you just don't want to talk about it.
I don't want to give it legitimacy by saying like, oh, you know, well, you know, who knows? It's like, no, I know.
How do you know? How do you know for 100% certainty? How do you know?
How do I know? Okay. I'll explain how I know. Because the amount of states Donald Trump needs to flip in order to
I asked you. I said, how do you know that nothing happened?
How do
because
I know
the
there's
guy,
nothing?
Because here, Mike, I'll just make it a quick one. Okay. Because the guy that's alleging the voter fraud said, count the votes in the state where I'm behind and don't count the votes in the state where I'm ahead.
Wait, what?
Yeah, Trump said – Trump.
He wanted them to stop counting in the states where he was ahead, Michigan and Pennsylvania.
Well, I understand.
Then Arizona, where he's behind. No, keep counting those ones because those ones might get me ahead. That's how ridiculous this is to have the guy that's calling out the voter fraud or trying to say that there is voter fraud.
I'm not talking. It's
guys, ridiculous. You look at everyone's face and it's just.
The whole thing's ridiculous.
You lost.
I know that. I understand that. I'm not even arguing that point. He lost. I knew he lost Tuesday night. I didn't need to wait till Saturday to find out. My point is that if there are legitimate concerns out there, then they should be addressed. And I don't like, again, I have not followed the lawsuits and all that. I'm just saying that from my personal standpoint, and no one has to agree with me, and you know, you're not going to change my mind on it, but if there are questions, and those questions need to be answered, because that's how we do things. That's how we used to do things in America.
Well, then the court system will in its due time sort this out. But at the same time, I am allowed to say these lawsuits are fraudulent.
Frivolous.
Frivolous. Yes. Sorry, they are frivolous.
What is more American than a frivolous lawsuit?
Right.
I mean, I mean, I'm with Greg for the most part. I mean, I feel like it's one of those things to where this is to people who like want this to be some sort of like logical, sensible thing. Politics is the wrong shop for that kind of stuff. Like, not that you know, anyone in this room is you know, ignorant of politics or doesn't know what they're talking about. Obviously not. It's more of just like I'm willing to just be patient, and because I feel like, you know, there's the courts do their thing in due time, then it'll be fine. But I don't feel like I need to like pound the table for anything to be done quicker or for people to just give up. Cause I mean, we're letting the nature of these certain beasts continue to like play out live, and it sucks and it's annoying because everyone's paying attention. Everyone wants.
Sometimes when you've got a 3-year-old in the corner screaming, you just got to let him scream himself out. And yeah, maybe that's the best way I can put it. I know that we do have.
Wait a minute. I'm Razor Ramon. I'm Scott Hall.
Huh?
So Chaos Blast in the comments said that, so we're going over like, you know, NWO, the stuff that's.
I'm not Eric Bischoff. I want to be somebody cooler than that.
Hey, Eric Bischoff pioneered the evil executive archetype that wrestling's been ripping off ever since.
I want to be like, who is their version of like Sergeant Slaughter or somebody, the fair-minded. I do want to say, though, one of our old friends has decided to weigh in with his opinion on the results of this election. Would you like to hear from him?
Sure.
All right, here we go.
The absolute worst!
That would be Tank, of course.
We know who Tank, not Tank feels about thing. Poor Tank. I'm sure he's out there watching.
Oh my God! I can't even imagine.
Outside one of those windows, just looking in, staring.
I'm thinking he probably jumped out of one of his windows.
Probably just fit through one of his windows.
There's the lowest hanging fruit.
Oh my goodness, Mike.
To get back to the original point.
Look at that fat ass brother. He can't even put on a video.
Like, so to keep my sanity over the few days and into today, I'm kind of curious. Greg mentioned one before the show. I was watching, it's called Victorian Farm, and it is a BBC series where archaeologists and historians live a calendar year working a British Victorian era farm, like a historic farm. And they talk about how they like make the food and tend the livestock and all that stuff. And it's like, this is absolutely delightful. It is in no way related whatsoever to the current cluster that is happening every time I turn on CNN. And that's pretty much what helped me keep my sanity for the first few days. What were you watching, Greg? You watched something relatively.
I don't even know how I stumbled across this on YouTube. It's called Geography King.
Geography guy or kid. Whatever,
right? King. And it's just this guy. He only has about 5,000 subscribers. I mean, it's not a big channel. And I started watching it. And the first thing I saw was he rated the Welcome to the State signs for all 50 states. And I thought, well, this is right up our alley.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Right? So I watch it. And I'm going, well, I don't know if I agree with that, but yeah, that's a good looking sign. And he's talking about design elements and all this. And I thought, well, this is fun. And then he rated the 50 flags for the 50 states. I'm like, well, this is really going to be cool. And he sounded like one of us, except he was talking about flags and road signs and that sort of thing.
This guy has to be on the boards. There's like no way. Like, I don't think so.
He's like a travel guy. But think of like if you had a guy that was like from the boards, knew nothing about sports, was just into aesthetics. That's him. And it was like, this is great. He's like, because when he did the flags, I'm thinking, well, Ohio's going to be up there because it's just a weird flag. I don't know if you guys are familiar with our flag, but it's not your
like
typical rectangular shape.
Like a pennant, right?
It came in number 6, by the way. But I don't know how much you guys know about state flags, but any guesses on what the number 1 flag was on his list?
I'd say based off the majority of
the bear came in 10th, Zach. Go ahead, Mike.
That's blasphemous.
Based off the based off just like a lot of the lists like this I've seen, I'm just going to guess that he probably put New Mexico at 1.
You would be exactly right, Mike.
I was going to say New Mexico. New Mexico is a bitchin' flag. It's awesome.
That's what he said. Yeah. See what I mean? And that's how he sucked me into this. And now I'm watching things like why the map's weird here and it's just, I don't know, it was so nice. It was just nerdy, completely unhooked from everything else. And I thought, this is just great. I'm really enjoying this. So that's what I did.
Well, plus Geography King, it sounds like it's kind of in the vein of not only the, like, this cool design element stuff, but it's also kind of a rare, like, celebration of America in a way. You know, it's kind of like a good American thing to where it's like, we have a lot of states, they're diverse, they're interesting, they have like a lot of cool, unique cultural stuff to them, even if it's just the flag or the sign coming into the state, like all that flavor.
Well, then
melting pot, you know.
And then he did the 10 worst states to travel through. And that was hilarious because he was like, I don't mean this in a bad way, but Kansas is horrible. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
No offense, Greg. I got to give that to Ohio just based on my own personal experience.
Dude, no, yeah. Well, you've never driven through, say, West Texas or.
No, and I don't, and hopefully I never have to, but like.
If you think the 220 miles of Ohio is boring, think about this. Nebraska from the east side to the west side is like five Ohios, except there's not a fucking thing between the first border and the last border.
Granted, I once drove all the way, through Ontario, but at least there was cool scenery, you know. Got some what, forests and
you
mountains
went to Kentucky.
And shit.
You didn't get. You weren't. You went through a whole bunch of mountains.
No. I'm just saying compared to Ohio.
Ohio had mountains. You couldn't have gotten to Kentucky without going through the mountains in Ohio.
Oh right? Yeah, no. But I'm just saying for long stretches.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Ohio got interesting in some spots, but like once you hit like when I crossed the border from Michigan into Ohio, like
oh, you hit the most boring part of the state.
There's like a good period where it was just oh god,
dude. Yeah. I mean, it's like so flat, like you can step out my back door and see Toledo from here, and it's 60 miles away. I'm exaggerating, obviously, but yeah, this part of Ohio. And you know the funny part is that like if you go 15 miles south of where I live, it's like you're in West Virginia. Not culturally, but you know, scenery wise.
Oh yeah, really. Like things got like much more interesting once I got into like the southern part of the state. Like,
oh yeah, that's
because I was going into Kentucky, right? So like once I got to the Kentucky Ohio border, like that area was actually really interesting to drive through. But yeah.
Looks like we lost Zach.
He quit in rage after he found out that the Californian flag was all. He's like, "This is unacceptable," and now he's out on his roof waving.
Well, you know, to be fair, I would have ranked California flag higher than 10th too.
I
think it's top three easy.
Honestly, if I did my own version of this, I'd be tempted to put California one.
No,
I think it would be between. New Mexico, I as soon as he got to the top, I'm like, it's got to be New Mexico because who's mentioned yet. I like Arizona's flag a lot, too.
Arizona's is nice, yeah.
Yeah, and I like Ohio's flag just because it's unique. But California, I think California's got to be top five. 10 is too low, I think.
I think Texas's flag is pretty cool.
Yeah,
I
mean, Texas is another one, yeah. You know who we had in the top four that I couldn't believe was that fucking abomination of Maryland, that flag of theirs?
I like Maryland.
It's unique, but it's uglier than shit.
It is the only state flag in the United States based off European heraldry.
I'm going to repeat one of his jokes. It's also the only flag in the United States that requires an epilepsy warning.
But no, it's based off of European heraldry. So you know that's neat.
That is true, but it was fun. But we don't want to get I can go on and on about geography.
Just turn this into talk about state flags.
Yeah.
Well, we were challenged by Chaos Blast to review some of
Canadian provinces.
Okay,
wow,
the best.
Okay.
So the best Canadian. So I don't know how Chaos Blast is going to feel about this, but I've got to be a homer for Ontario. I love the Ontario flag.
I'm looking them up right now because I want to see.
Red instant and all.
There's a link I just provided in there. I've got my favorite picked out already.
In terms of provincial and territorial flags, I've got to go with the Ontario flag. I think is really really nice because it is a red ensign with the Ontario coat of arms. But I think in terms of reflecting the history of the province. How the province was founded by, loyalists who were fleeing the American Revolution, who, the whole point was, loyalty to the crown. I think you can't really beat, that in terms of what the design is. So I'd say the Ontario one's probably my favorite for sentimental reasons, partially. Aesthetically, I also like Newfoundland and Labrador's flag.
Yeah, that would be my favorite.
Top one. Yeah, that's my favorite too.
Newfoundland and Labrador's flag is meant to be a stylized Union Jack, which I think is actually it's really cool how they went about that. And then, you've got both PEI and New Brunswick, which are based off European heraldry. But I'd probably say probably my third favorite, if I had to like rank top three, I'd put like Ontario, Newfoundland, and then Nunavut, the territory of Nunavut. I think does a really good job taking Inuit imagery and then you know turning a flat, making a flag out of it.
I have a question, Mike. Yes. And, with regard to the Nova Scotia flag, isn't Nova Scotia where – no, Trailer Park Boys took place in New Brunswick, right?
I believe so, yes.
Because I was going to say, if it was Nova Scotia, it's too perfect. It looks like the Florida flag, except the Canadian version of it, Trailer Park Boys. Come on now.
No, well, what's actually funny, because if you – okay, so if you were going to have a Canadian version of Florida, it would probably be Newfoundland, actually. you know, Canadians will understand that.
I don't like the Yukon flag. It reminds me too much of, like, Mexico or – which is fine. Mexico's a great flag, but they kind of ripped it off here, I think.
Yukon and the Northwest Territories, I'm not big fans of those flags, but yeah, I'd say Nunavut has by far the best of the three territorial flags.
Oh, look at Saskatchewan. I think they've got your green for the Saskatchewan party there.
Well, that's where the party got their colors from, you see. You know, it's from that. I actually don't like the Saskatchewan flag. I think it's mostly fine, but the flower ruins it. Like, it's just kind of stuck there. Like, it's like someone... like someone had it like a bicolor, and then they put the coat of arms in the corner, and they're like, "Well, that looks good, right?" Yeah, someone's like, "Eh, we're gonna put a flower here," and it, you
the
know,
the flag of Saskatchewan should just be the outline of Saskatchewan. And I don't mean like drawn in the middle of the rectangle. I mean the shape of the fabric should be the shape.
Well,
of the
then, fabric. So you just turn the flag on its side because
you know I wonder why more states haven't done that, or provinces for that matter. That would be interesting.
There's very few that even have interesting – like Ohio is the only one that I can think of that's
– well, actually, you look at like Colorado, shaped exactly like its flag because they're both square.
Wow. Now if you scroll down, you'll see four city flags, Calgary, Montreal, Toronto, and Vancouver.
Hmm. I like the Calgary thing with the cowboy hat. It's whimsical but not a great look. Montreal – that seems a little busy to me.
Well, the Montreal flag is meant to – there's a lot of symbolism there. I figured as much.
I just don't understand. I know there's a fleur-de-lis, I think, up in the left-hand corner there.
The red cross is the St. George cross, which is the cross of England, which is in honor of the fact that the flag was unveiled during the visit of – I believe it was King George V when he visited the city.
You know, we should have shared the screen, Andy, now that I think about it.
So the symbols, the fleur-de-lis in the top left represents the French. The rose in the top right represents the English. The thistle in the bottom left represents the Scottish. And the shamrock in the bottom right represents the Irish. And then the tree in the middle represents the native peoples. It's like the ethnic groups that came together in Montreal is what that represents. Toronto... is the symbol of the that sort of like the silhouette of City Hall? Like if you've ever seen Toronto, it's these like Toronto City Hall. It's these like T-shaped buildings.
Oh, really? Okay, cool.
And then Vancouver is just water because it's on the coast. And then here's a green triangle and a coat of arms. Like Vancouver's just kind of very
this will do. Throw it out there.
Yeah. But if you look at Montreal, the flag was originally adopted in 1939 without the tree. They added the tree in 2017 to represent the native peoples.
Oh, cool. So. That was very nice of them.
I feel like I'm on like a tour guide, like a tour here. It's like, welcome to the Museum of Canadian Flags. Here's your tour guide, Mike.
Here are the flags we should probably get out of this before we lose every listener.
I could easily go into it. All I'll say is I won't share it. Or anything like that. All I'll say is that if you want to see a really interesting Canadian flag, look up the flag of the Canadian Army.
Okay.
It is a it's that first one, the red one, yeah. It is an exercise in how many maple leaves you can fit in a single flag. Like... I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They managed 5.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, anyway, should we move on from flags and geography? And
sure.
When we were talking about how we were going to approach this, and we talked about let's talk about ways that we coped during the 100 years that was the past week.
Right.
I actually had something which I'm actually kind of a bit ashamed to say because it's something of a guilty pleasure.
Uh oh.
But you know what? This is it's 2020. This is a safe space. I believe I can.
Well, we'll see.
just one bit on Chaos Blast. No love for Alberta. Chaos Blast. Alberta is just an American state flag. It's the coat of arms on a blue field. Like,
that's exactly what I thought.
The Alberta flag. It's the Calgary Flames jerseys.
Yes.
Right. That could be New York. That could be Vermont. That could be a whole manner of states. Chaos Blast down here. That are just a blue.
Yeah.
And that's what my geography guy complained about. He said, like, I think I want to say 70% of the flags down here are just a blue background with a something on it type thing like that. So yeah, that's why it's not getting any love. We love Alberta. We're just not crazy about.
Oh,
the flag.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, Alberta's great. It's just you got to up your flag game. Come on, guys.
Exactly. Come on now.
But in terms of how I coped with it, I revisited an old love from junior high, which was I rewatched Yu-Gi-Oh! GX.
Oh, Mike, no.
I know. I know.
Mike.
I know.
No.
I know.
Let's play cards, but on motorcycles?
No. It wasn't the motorcycle one. This is the one where they all go to the card game, like, university.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
Which, to be fair, is not any less stupid. But no,
The only reason I even know about some of those other ones is, they do, like, the anime abridged thing.
Yeah, Yu-Gi-Oh! The abridged series, yeah.
Yu-Gi-Oh! Abridged is really good for anyone that cares. But
yeah.
He did – one of the things he abridged was the movie where, like, the main Yu-Gi-Oh! Timeline, the motorcycle timeline.
Yes.
And the university timeline, like, all mixed. So that's the only reason I know the motorcycle one.
Yeah.
Because, like – it's already a stupid world that you live and die by children.
By card games? By card games, yes.
Now let's do it while we're riding on motorcycles with holographic projections around us. Like, makes a whole lot of sense.
I hear this, and I kind of know vaguely what these things are. In my head, I'm like, God, this is fucking stupid. But then I realized I look back in my mental time machine to when I was a kid, and I was like, well, what was on TV? Like, oh yeah, roller sharks were like big muscular sharks wearing roller skates.
Street sharks!
Yeah, street sharks. Yeah, like, it's just like, oh, I have no land to stand on.
Really?
Sorry?
Or no, Vin Diesel was in the street shark toy commercials. That's what he was in.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I can't think of a better human embodiment of street sharks than Vin Diesel, like, honestly.
Really? Yeah, I agree.
But basically what was happening was I was watching the election returns come in, and like I said last week, in Canada, we don't have this obsessive, like, let's zoom in on Fulton County in Indiana because they've picked every presidential winner since 1854 or some bullshit like that. Like, we don't have that. And so I'm kind of like, I'm watching it and I'm like, okay, so results are coming in. And then they go back to the stupid goddamn map guy every 2 seconds. Well, what does this mean? Bullshit. And I couldn't handle it. So I said, and me being a very, politically opinionated person, I had very strong feelings about this election. And so I was like, you know what? I got to get away from this. I need to get away from this. And I thought, and I was like, and I was into Yu-Gi-Oh! as a kid. And so I was like, you know what? Why not? It's dumb, stupid fun. And so I pulled it up on Hulu, and I watched like the first 10 episodes, and then I was like, you know what? That's better. I needed that. I really did.
And
so that's how I coped.
And Sailor, that's not even the dorkiest thing that we did. I think I still hold the title on that.
Yeah, no, yeah. Meanwhile, Greg's like, I watched a video about the font on street signs, and
right. So Zach, what did you do on the extended summer vacation that was last week?
Oh, I didn't cope. I just put it into my veins.
Oh, did you? You just were mainlining the shit, huh?
Yeah, no, Zach was taping his eyes open, sitting in front of CNN for like 5 days.
you laugh. Literally. I stayed up too late. I got up earlier than normal. And all I had on was – and, like, I was just – I didn't want to – it wasn't that I was, like, interested in, like, the 35 votes that were coming in here and the 35 votes that were coming in there. It was just, like, I couldn't take my eyes off of, like, oh, the numbers keep changing. Oh, the numbers keep changing. Well, I want to be here when it's done. Like,
I want to be here when they change the most.
Well, that was, I want to see them push the
idea.
Put your finger,
like,
on the map.
The idea was I didn't want to miss when they finally did it. Mm-hmm, and, of course, I think, like most of us, I thought, well, maybe they'll do it Wednesday. Maybe they'll do it Thursday. Maybe they'll do it Friday. And then, thankfully, I happened to be up, again, earlier than normal, watching CNN nonstop for 5 days. And I was up on Saturday morning when they finally called it. And then just this full release of, like, oh, my God, it's done.
Yeah, we all got the Return of the Jedi gift.
I got a question. Seriously, guys, for the three of you, did you really think there was a chance that Biden was going to lose at that point?
Yes.
No.
Really?
Right, absolutely.
Wow, that's amazing to me.
I mean, honestly, I
pretty much knew Tuesday night where it was going to go.
Honestly, I did, because, like, okay, so a lot of this was rooted in 2016 for me, right?
Yeah,
where, like, like I remember 2016 watching the election returns, and, you know, before the polls close and before they started reporting any numbers, they're like, the Clinton campaign has said, like, you know, they're seeing really good numbers and traction in the battleground states. You know, some are saying they're even outperforming, you know, Democratic performances in 2012. And so, and we all know how 2016 ended up. So when I'm watching this and the, you know, they still have Pennsylvania red and, you know, they're saying, and everyone's saying, it's like, oh, when the mail-in vote comes in, it's going to swing for Biden. Yeah. And I'm watching this for like 2 days and it hasn't changed. I'm like,
I think, like, during the middle of Wednesday, it finally was like, he's going to win. Like, all the math that they keep throwing up my head, it's like, okay, I understand he's going to, but, like, he hasn't yet.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's funny because in 2016 I was watching, and it was, you know, you could see what was happening, but throughout the whole thing, Hillary Clinton still had, like, these, okay, if this and this breaks her way, she could still win. And then I don't remember what time it was. They called Wisconsin for Trump, and I turned the TV. I started watching Star Wars. I'm like, well, this is over. And I don't know. Maybe I dork out too much on this stuff, but. You know, it was like, and
well,
like,
no, I mean, in both cases, it seems, Greg, like you, like, pretty much called it right. Like, you're like, oh, you know, Wisconsin went for Hillary. They know that's it. And now, you know, sorry, Wisconsin went for Trump. So Hillary is done. And, like, this time you're like, oh, well, you know, here, Michigan and Wisconsin went for Biden. So that's it seems like you probably have a better handle on it. Like,
but it was exactly like you said, Mike, because I think even through Wednesday, like, Biden was down over 100,000, maybe almost close to 200,000 votes in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And they still said, oh, but he's going to get, like, all these ballots in Philadelphia are going to – he's going to end up winning by 100,000 votes.
Yeah.
And I think that was the piece of math that I couldn't, like, quite line up right in my head. I'm like, but he's down by that much. And you say he's going to win by that much?
And then –
It didn't click until until it really started taking chunks out of it. And then I think it was it Thursday morning when they flipped it?
It was Thursday morning when it flipped, and then they and then, you know, when it came in, like, you know, obviously Philadelphia being a huge city, you know, massively, you know, Democratic, you know, when that happened, all of the gritty memes started, which in my opinion have been the best thing, come out of this is the Tyrell lady from Game of Thrones.
Marjorie Tyrell.
Marjorie, right. Where tell Donald.
I want him to know it was me.
It was me, yeah.
Yeah, no, I think it was a thing of, like, I was so dialed in all of Tuesday, and then I was so dialed in all of Wednesday, and then just kind of waiting. Georgia flipped right before I went to bed on Wednesday night. And then when Pennsylvania flipped in the morning, it was like you said, Greg, like, I knew. But at that point, it was like, okay, well, now I just want to be here when it's done. And to a certain point, because it was nothing, it was the only thing I was watching, it was the only thing my girlfriend was watching, we were just kind of like, it started becoming like, oh, we're just hanging out with our friends, Anderson and Jake Tapper. And, you know, we started commenting on the actual people rather than like the race, because it's literally just kind of like staring at the screen and waiting for it
to change. It's like, has Wolf Blitzer gone to bed yet?
I did not watch.
Was here, now he's gone. Where'd he go?
I did not watch any cable, not a single cable network Tuesday. Couldn't take it.
Everybody's just so.
It was just like, you know, y'all need to shut up. And I forget what I would like flip back and forth between like live YouTube feeds from different places. Mm-hmm. Like I'd go like, okay, let's hear what the blue side's saying. Let's listen to the red guys for a while. And I had this I forget where I got it from, but it was this place that was doing like live updates on the voting as it was happening. And I was in heaven. I'm like, this is the best thing ever. I was like more geeked out on that than these assholes with the analytics and baseball get with like all their little charts and graphs and all that shit. I was like, Zach, I was mainlining just the numbers, like watching Ohio go from 53-46 Biden, and then just watching it go and switch the other way. Yeah. And then my brother sent me a text. He's like, why are they calling Arizona so soon? I'm like, dude, it's been an 8-point lead for 4 hours now. I'd call it too.
The Arizona one was such a weird sticking point because Fox and AP called it, and then nobody else would do it. And it's like, well, like, are you all operating on different sets of numbers? What is the holdup? And I think that was another thing where it's like, we know it's going to happen. Just do it. And they wouldn't do it until
when the lead held at 8 points for like 3 hours. I said, I don't know how like deep you guys get into this shit, but I like, you know, I watch it and I go, okay, here's like with Ohio, you know, because obviously Ohio, I live in Ohio, so that was the one that was like we were getting the most information from. But I watched it and it was like, okay, it was Biden came in at 53. He had like a 13-point lead at one point. I said, if he wins Ohio, that's it. It's over. You know, that's the ball game. And then it was like, all of a sudden it was down to like, you know, and the lead kept shrinking. I'm like, well, this is getting interesting. And then it kind of got even. And then all of a sudden Trump started pulling away in the other direction. Those are the states you watch. A state that stays at 8 points for 3 hours, there's nothing to see here. It's done. It's over. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I know they're fighting over Arizona right now, but I don't know what's going to change out there. I mean,
the other thing that kind of kept me mainlined into is I like you too, like you, Greg. I am a geography nerd, and I have gone down that YouTube rabbit hole of like, oh well, this is a weird border, isn't it? You're like, oh yeah, that is strange. Why is it like that? And then then all of a sudden you're learning about the enclaves between India and Bangladesh. but the map guys really bring me in. I know far too much about the suburban collar of Philadelphia and you know, the makeup of the population disparity in Nevada and that sort of crap. Well, that, it's like I love watching them play around on the maps. I know it's mind numbing. I know it really doesn't mean anything.
Well, see, I love it. That's like my favorite part of the whole thing. Yeah.
Oh, I love playing around with a good map.
But like, you know, I forget where I saw it, but somebody said, okay, you know, the Ohio, the blue counties have done their thing. The cities have done their thing. Now let's see what the red can do in Ohio. And I'm thinking, this is going to be tight. But I was surprised. I really thought Ohio would be closer than it was. I really thought it would be like within 2 or 3 points. And I think Trump won it by 8.
Yeah, it was interesting because we don't have to go back to the voter fraud mail-in part of it, but like the difference in some of these states and like how they progressed was just depending on how they decided to count. Like I think they kept saying that Ohio was one of the ones that counted mail-ins first, so that's why Biden took a huge lead. And then
Trump I didn't know that. Okay, that makes sense.
And then meanwhile, Pennsylvania, you know, counted mail-ins last. So right. Yeah.
So that's why some of them flipped the way they did back and forth. Like, I think Florida did the same thing where Biden was up early and then Trump came back late. And in Ohio, Biden was up early, Trump came back late, and then it flipped elsewhere. And then, like, Arizona was like a weird mix where I guess because they've been doing mail-in ballots for so long down there that, like, the Republicans are used to it. And so, I don't know. That sort of stuff was interesting to me, too, just because – and then once I finally started understanding that, that's when everything started to click in for me, too, where it was like, oh – so if the people that are waving their arms around yelling about it right now, if they just understood that they're being counted in a different order, that we'd be okay? Is that what I'm understanding? Okay.
Yeah, and that thing too, I think another one that surprised me was Iowa. I had Iowa in the blue column this year. And I think it went red, didn't it?
Yeah.
By a big margin, if I remember right.
For work, we did a pool where we all made our own maps. Let me pull mine up. I'm going to get the Electoral College number right, which I'm kind of proud about. But that was a pure guess. I only missed – what did I miss? I missed North Carolina. I missed North Carolina. And
so did I. I had North Carolina going red or blue, and it went red, didn't it?
Yeah. North Carolina is going to go – like they're not certifying there until later this week because they set their date like at the 12th. But I had North Carolina blue. It's going to be red. I had Georgia red. It's going to be blue. And then I didn't give Trump the one district in Maine that he's going to end up getting.
Well, Georgia and Arizona fucked me. Yeah. Because especially Georgia. It's like, what are you doing, Georgia? Come on now. I mean, this is all well and good, but you know what you are down there. Now quit playing around and get back in the fucking red column and quit messing with my map. Yeah, Arizona.
They energized the suburban Atlanta black vote is what they did. Ran for governor a few years ago, like Stacey Abrams. She's like, when she lost, she made like a whole point of, I'm going to go register voters and kind of help flip that state. Now they have two runoffs to deal with in January, which will be their own mess for the Senate. But
that's that'll be interesting because first we worked out on geography. Now we're like going way into like, you know, wonky insider political stuff here. I'm sure everybody's thrilled they're listening right now. Let me just say this and then we can move on if you guys want. The Georgia thing is going to be interesting because you're not going to have the same enthusiasm to get out and vote like you do in a presidential election. I mean, that's just a fact of life that the every 4 year presidential election is the one that brings out the biggest output. So it'll be really interesting to see how this thing plays out in Georgia because now they've got to go, both sides got to go ground game and really get to work, and we'll see how it plays out. It's going to be very fascinating.
As they kept saying, as soon as that was kind of evident, it's like, if you want to make some money right now, go buy a local TV station in Georgia.
Right.
And just break in money for the next two months and a half.
So can we need to watch more Canadian election? Yes, we do, Chaos Blast, because they're amazing.
They don't sound nearly as exciting as ours.
No, it's called Sanity.
Do you guys have Map Guy? Is there a Saskatchewan Map Guy?
No.
Well, then fuck, what good are you?
No. We have one map, and it. What?
our map game is – I mean, come on now. We've got the map game. We've got it down.
Let me ask you this, guys. How goddamn smudgy was that touchscreen when it was all over?
Oh, God. I would have never touched it. I can tell you that.
I would think it would be like wiping it down, you know, once an hour just to
Never. I would have never. I would have been like, I'm not touching that fucking thing.
Or at least when they changed over shifts between, you know, one map between daytime map guy and nighttime map guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was the thing that was more impressed by some of these networks is just like they had somebody that you knew, like a face that you knew, at least on CNN, all hours of the day. Like you had your daytime shift with, you know, your Wolf Blitzers, your Anderson Coopers. And then the nighttime shift where they carried it all the way until they handed the baton off back to Wolf Blitzer and Anderson Cooper the next day with Chris Cuomo and Don Lemon. They had everybody on air all the time for five straight days. The stamina was impressive.
Well, yeah, I mean, you work in a newspaper. I mean, like presidential elections, like that's like the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I mean, I know when I worked in radio, the only one I ever got to really be involved in covering it was the 96 election. I had more fun doing that than I think anything I've ever done before or since. It was just so cool to be out there, and we were at, I forget, one of the party headquarters, and we were getting results in. It was a ball, man. It was so much fun. But anyway, should we go to some sports here before we like put everybody to sleep?
Well, here's the thing. I think the other reason that the election was able to take up so much of maybe my life, other people's lives, there's nothing going on, right? Like,
oh, well, I think we had something going on last night down in Tampa.
There is one thing I wanted to mention, the Trump press conference at the Four Seasons Landscaping.
Yeah, that was excellent.
I didn't see it. I didn't see it.
Long story short, there was an announcement that there was going to be a, you know, Trump press conference held at the Four Seasons.
Philadelphia.
In Philadelphia. So everyone's like, oh, Four Seasons Hotel or something. Okay. So, but no, it's like a gardening center or landscaping.
They literally wanted to get the Four Seasons, and they couldn't.
And the hotel said no.
So they went to the Four Seasons Total Landscaping, which is parked between an adult sex shop and a auditorium.
Yes.
Not only that, the adult sex shop, if you go to their website, they're currently having a sale on dildos.
Dildo, yeah. So it was that, just the perfect.
And that was happening like.
That shit ain't funny, motherfucker!
Like Rudy Giuliani's holding court, and one of the guys is like, hey, you know, they just called the election. Who called it? All the networks. And Rudy just like, oh, all the networks. Oh my God. Like it was just like. Okay.
It's embarrassing.
He kept trying to go on, and then the news stations kept leaving, and then he was the only one there. Because like,
the absolute worst.
The election's over. We're gonna go. We're gonna leave you.
Not only that, there was a guy who like interviewed the old man who owns the sex shop.
Yeah.
and his whole thing is that he's just angry that so many people are using his parking lot.
He might have drummed up some good business though. You know.
Oh my God!
The red, white, and blue dildos were moving that day.
Very popular item with the MAGA crowd.
So, with regards to sports, like Zach said,
sorry,
there's nothing. There's football this week, and yeah, there was like I'm looking at the scores now because I have no idea what happened yesterday. All I know is that the one guy for the Redskins is the quarterback's leg broke in half, so he's done now. The Saints beat the shit out of Tampa Bay, and that's about it. That's all I really know that happened. Otherwise, the Bears just committed a war crime down in Tennessee, and that's all I have left.
It was a bye week for the Rams, so I didn't have to pay attention to anything, but the rest of the division lost, so.
It was a bye week for the Browns, and it was 80 degrees and sunny and perfect here yesterday, so
yeah,
guess where I was. It was not in the house watching football.
It was beautiful. I mean, it was a beautiful day here in the Midwest as far as just like unseasonably warm. And
yeah,
and a lot of it was kind of funny because a lot of Bears Twitter was just like, you know, I could be outside doing yard work or like having a good time just going for a walk. And instead, I'm watching this bullshit. These guys out here just, I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to go too heavy into the Bears just because there's nothing to talk about, but everyone's been through these games before with their teams to where you're watching it and you're like, why the fuck am I watching this? Like, this is awful. Like, it's a beautiful day outside. I should be doing anything else, but here I am subjecting myself to this crap, and I know I'm going to finish watching it. Why? What's wrong with me?
Well, I think that one of us, Zach and I had a fine week because nothing happened.
Everyone else in the NFC West lost, so good for me.
How about Seattle getting their hands handed to them by the Bills? That was something, right?
Apparently, Seattle has the worst pass defense in the league this year.
I would say so. I have no argument here.
Jake Allen torches you, then.
Right. Might be time to do some little looking in the mirror there, guys.
Yeah.
So, Mike.
Yeah.
What happened to your boy yesterday?
Look. When Hulk Hogan lost the world title to Lex Luger, it was only for a week before he got it right back. All right? What? So, look here, brother.
What?
You know, Zach doing a what chant in the middle of our show is like one of the most irritating things I've ever experienced.
And you went after us for spin the wheel, make the deal.
I didn't go after anybody. I just let out a big sigh, I think.
And you're starting a what? No.
Anyway, I'll stop.
In all seriousness, the Bucks got their asses kicked, and I actually had somewhat of kind of Chargers flashbacks to a degree. Specifically, like, the Chargers had this thing, right, where, like, Chargers had this really bad habit of, you know, you go into a game with a game plan, and, you know, when the game plan's not working, you should change it. You should adjust. But then the Chargers never would, and they just, you know, kill themselves. And that's kind of what I saw. Like, the Bucks obviously went in, going like this is gonna we're gonna go pass heavy. And I don't know why they felt that was gonna work, but whatever they did, that's their game plan. Whatevs. But when it was clear that it wasn't working, when it was clear that the pass game wasn't happening, they really should have adjusted to a more balanced attack, and they didn't. And, you know, you look at it, and at a certain point, New Orleans is just, you know, at a certain point, New Orleans has just scored so, you know, so much that you go, well, that's the game. It's over. And you just wonder, like, you just wonder if you're Bruce Arians or, you know, or Brian Leftwich, the offensive coordinator, even Tom Brady. Like, you go, like, at what point does the at what point does the game plan have to clearly not be working before you decide to change it up? And it's like,
well, here's the weird thing. So like the Buccaneers, aside from Blaine Gabbert's kneel down at the end, there was only four legitimate rushing attempts by Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
And it's not like you would say like, oh, well, was Tom Brady throwing the ball a lot? No, didn't throw it really any more than Drew Brees did. Mm-hmm. But three interceptions, three sacks.
Yeah.
That's the problem. The team just played like garbage, and Drew Brees and the Saints played awesome.
And yeah, you know they didn't look that great against the Giants last week either, to be honest. Now, that could be looking past them to the Saints. But if you're going to look past a team and play poorly against them, you should really show up for the team you're looking past them to play.
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't seem to happen. So I don't know. I'm not going to say anything about Brady because I know better. So I don't know what happened.
I mean, like, I just got to think it's one of these cases where, you know, for whatever reason, the passing game just wasn't working, and someone should have, you know, called an audible. Someone should have called multiple audibles and been like, hey, maybe we go to a more balanced attack. Maybe we emphasize the ground game more in the second half because, you know, we're clearly not making it happen through the air, which goes back to, you know, what I've, you know, said occasionally on this show, which is that I kind of think that, like, being a football coach might be easier than we've all been led to believe, and that everyone who is a football coach is maybe an idiot.
The problem with changing your game plan at halftime, Mike, is that you're already down 31-0.
Well, I mean, no, obviously this is a case where, you know, adjustments should have been made on the fly. My point is, like, I just don't what I'm getting at is that I don't understand why, you know, whoever was in charge of making, you know, this play call, you know, these play calls, you know, didn't make this adjustment, or, you know, before it was too late. I mean, I'm watching the game. I've never coached a down a football in my life. I'm no one special here. And even I, just, you know, casual football fan observer, I'm going, like, the pass game isn't working. What are you doing? Like, and if I can see that, then surely the people being paid millions of dollars to call football plays should see that. But
I think it goes back to they don't sleep enough. I'm serious.
That's why Marv Levy is, like, the champion. Didn't he, like, keep a fucking, like, 8-hour workday or something? Like, he didn't do that crazy shit or something? Like,
I don't know. I know Steve Spurrier didn't. He was like, you see what, you know, working 70 hours a week did for so-and-so. And it's like, and then they kicked his ass twice in the same season, and that was that.
That's always a weird thing for me. Like just from a Bears vacuum, like, there's the current coach, Matt Nagy, makes a lot of just buffoonish, weird decisions in regards to time management and timeouts. And I think that's, you know, there's a lot of NFL coaches that do that. But, you know, a very common argument you hear online, especially on Twitter, in game, is that, like, you know, I could have done that better. I could have, you know, handled this situation better. And it's like, well, you know, while 98% of the time that's completely incorrect, the 2% of the time is like, well, you had a full night of sleep for most of the nights this week. This guy has been watching, you know, film and, you know, growing through X's and O's and whiteboards and shit till like 2 or 3 in the morning, and waking up after like 3 hours and doing the same thing all day. And
not only that, but he's also got the defensive coordinator yelling in his ear, the offensive coordinator, special teams, receiver, all those people up in the booths, all talking to him at the same time. You know, it's like the reverse of being a director of a TV show where you go, everybody shut the fuck up. I talk, no one else does. He's like, it's just, yeah. So for us to say that, and I've been on football sidelines, and it's chaos down there. Zach, just even in high school, you can see it, oh, sure. Right? But it's like chaos. I mean, it's like
the question is, though, is this really a job that requires someone to be up till 3 in the morning?
Oh, hell no. I've said
that. I don't think it is. Like
yeah, we've had this discussion at least 6 times.
Yeah, like, it's entirely possible that I truly believe one could be a successful football coach keeping, like, a 9-to-5 workday. Like, geez, I get it. It's an X and O's game. It's human chess to a degree. But also, at the end of the day, it's just football. It shouldn't be this complicated.
Well, and despite however much preparation you can do, no matter – there's no amount of preparation that can make the Chargers not charger, as Chaos Blast pointed out there in the chat. This is different than their other weeks where they weren't blowing a big lead. They were trying to come back. And it's like, oh, they got a touchdown. Oh, they didn't. Game's over. Sorry, Chargers.
You know what, though? That Justin – what's his name? Justin Herbert?
Herbert, yeah.
He's good. He's a good player.
He deserves better. He needs to get out of there.
I think it was the Bill Simmons podcast. They said they should trade him to the Browns for, like, Baker Mayfield, 2 first-round picks. I was like, I'm on the phone making that deal right now.
Seriously. Like, Justin needs to get out of the – look, Justin, I'm going to tell you a story about a man named Philip Rivers. And a promising career that was no more.
Philip had a rough day. For Indy. Did you see him try to make that tackle sitting on his ass?
He
tried. Yeah.
Look, I got to give it to a man. He's still trying.
I think he's done. You know what? They were talking. Speaking of the Bill Simmons podcast, they were talking about the rookie quarterbacks today, and it was like, and I thought about what Mike has been saying all along. Like, there's no need to sit these guys anywhere. You've got Tua, you've got Herbert, you've got Joe Burrow, you've got Kyler Murray's not a rookie this year, but he's young.
No, he's second year. Yeah.
Who else is out there? I mean, these guys are playing ball, man.
Well, I mean, obviously, we say that, you know, college football is not the same as the NFL, and, you know, all those jokes like, oh, Alabama could beat, like, the worst, could beat the Jets. It's like, no, they couldn't. Like,
no, they couldn't. They would never be close. No.
But the
Jets are still starting Joe Flacco this week, so.
The Jets might be the worst professional football team of all time, but.
Boy, are they bad.
But in terms of pro readiness, I think that the college game has evolved to a degree that if you have a quarterback who's ready to be drafted, it's no longer a case where it's like, oh, they need to learn the pro game. Like, we've seen guys come right out of the gate and just absolutely kill it. So I really don't see the point to making guys wait.
Well, I think there's also a lot of tradition that is being eschewed now to where, like, there's you know, historically, you know, that has come from college to where it's like the seniors always play over the underclassmen, always. Like, they will, you know, these guys haven't earned it. These veterans must always be the first – get the first opportunity before you go out there and put a rookie in. That's really – I mean, obviously there's been cases over the years, the past, I don't know, 20 years, where a first – top five, whatever quarterback will come in and be the obvious starter going into the season. But I feel like for the most part now, it's really almost a waste of time in a lot of cases, only because there's certain quarterbacks like Johnny Manziel, for example, who came out of the spread and things like that, to where you have some concerns over if they can work under pocket and stuff like that. But I feel like it's also a lot of offensive coordinators who become head coaches that are younger, who essentially said, I'll just curate my offense to suit the talent that's available to me. And this guy's got incredible skill set, so I will make a system that accommodates them. And
even what you said, Andy, about the seniors have to start over the freshmen, that's not even that true anymore.
No.
Like, the amount of true freshmen that come in and play extremely well in college football, it's insane now. Like, it goes all the way down. And, like, go to high school, there are number one freshmen that were – beating out the incumbent or backup, you know, starter or whatever.
Don't you think, too, with football coaching, shouldn't it always be like a good coach would always be the guy that says, okay, this is the personnel I have. What can I do to get the most out of it?
You'd think so, but, yeah, that rarely happens.
I know.
Well,
which is why I say that I think most football coaches might be idiots. Like, don't know.
Well, I always say it takes a special kind of idiot to be a football coach, so maybe I'm right about that. I don't know.
For example, there's a lot of people – I mean, again, I'm just going to go right back to what I know, which is the unfortunate Bears, to where you have a coach who has a system and wants to take the players and make them fit into his system, even if it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. And there's been a lot of decrying over how the Bears' current coach has handled that. And that's not an unusual thing. There's been plenty of coaches in college and especially NFL who are like, this is my system. If you guys come in and it doesn't work, I'm not going to change anything. But the thing you have to think about is when you have like a young quarterback, for example, that comes in and you're saying, no, you did the spread and the shotgun. You're going to work under center and you're going to do West Coast. And they suck. And at some point, you'd think that a lot of these coaches would have the wherewithal and humility to say, well, they're not working with what I'm cooking. Why don't I just change things up to accommodate them? But for whatever reason, I don't know if it's an ego thing or just a stubbornness thing. There's plenty of coaches, most of them of the old world mentality or lower tier, who simply say, like, well, we're just going to ride this thing out the entire season. And if we go, you know, 2-whatever, then that's fine. We'll reconfigure next season. I don't understand how few coaches in the NFL simply say, like, well, they can't make many changes in season. And I know that's a lot of work, and I know it's a pain in the ass. But, like, as an NFL coach, a lot of teams are not hesitant to just lay people off. It's been, what, every year now, Black Monday, Black Tuesday,
yeah,
where piles of coaches get laid off every year. And, you know, how many – what was the last – I'm trying to think of the last longest tenured NFL coach. Maybe the guy in Cincinnati, Marvin Lewis.
Yeah.
He was there for a million years, but that's you know, a Browns thing. Bengals thing, sorry. Yeah, no, they're quite the opposite. They fire everybody.
You understand.
Yeah, but it's just a thing to where you'd think, you know, your mind logically would tell you that, you know, make changes, take it to exploit your talent, but it is not as ubiquitous as you'd think.
Yeah. I think that it reminds me of John Elway was just hamstrung by Dan Reeves for like the first however many years of his career, because Dan Reeves tried to get John Elway to be a classic drop back passer and play within a system, and it was like, and they would always be losing, and then he finally go, okay, just do your thing, and then Elway would become Elway, and I never understood that, but
and then he beat Dan Reeves in a Super Bowl. So
he beat Dan Reeves in a Super Bowl, yeah. But I to go back to that, I wonder if it's not so much that they can't, you know, they think they're going to have time once they become the head coach to go, okay, I have the system, I will draft accordingly to my system. I don't know if you can do it that way in the NFL, because I don't think you've got that kind of time.
No,
you really should go in and be like, look, I want to, we're going to make this work with who we've got.
You I think you can in some teams, like I think the Steelers are a team that has shown incredible patience when it comes to head coaching. Like, you know, it was Bill Cowher for years, and now, you know, it's been, you know, Mike Tomlin for years, and it's like, you know, the Steelers are a team where, you know, they, when they pick a guy to be their coach, they believe in them, and they
it also helps that the Steelers generally aren't bad.
But I think that reflects due to just like the way that the organization is run, where it is like, no, they aren't bad. Maybe because they don't completely blow up and hit the reset button every couple of years. Like,
well, I think that too, and I also think that if you look at the Steelers historically,
yeah,
and not even like historically going back to like the 70s, I just mean like in the last 15, 20 years, there was a time when they were a really good defensive team that didn't have a lot of offense. And then they were kind of like a good balance. And then it was like, wow, the offense is amazing, but the defense isn't great. So clearly, something in that organization, they're going, okay, this is what we have. This is what we're going to do. Because they aren't the same team every year. They're not like the same, okay, we're going to run the ball, blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean? Like a college system would be. They kind of seem to, like when Roethlisberger was at his peak, they threw the ball a lot more. And I think it's just an organizational thing. Maybe you're right, but yeah. They have changed, even though they've got the same guy for – I don't remember. Oh, by the way, people on the boards, I told you Bill Cowher wasn't coming back to coaching. Will you shut up about it now?
But, speaking of the Steelers, with them surviving against the Cowboys this weekend.
God. Well, wait.
Gilbert, by the way.
Wait, take aim, baby.
The Steelers have never been 8-0 in franchise history.
Really?
Yeah.
That surprises me. I would never have thought that.
Right. You would think with just like the years and decades of success they've had, that they'd be there at some point, like whether it was Terry Bradshaw or whether it was Roethlisberger, like at some point you'd be that good. But
hold on, pause all thoughts for just 1 second. Is Mike or somebody sitting near a crackling fire or like just like snapping twigs in half over their legs?
Sorry, no. Sorry, that was on my end.
Twigs.
No, it's my chair's being creaky as shit.
Okay. I was trying to visualize what was going on. I thought you were clicking a pen, and I'm like, no.
My chair's just being creaky, but I think I fixed it. So
okay, but carry on with Steelers being good. And
the Steelers thing for a minute, Zach, with the Terry Bradshaw stuff.
Yeah.
There were a lot of years during that dynasty where they were trying to like not let him start. They had Joe Gillum for a while. It was just like you always think of Bradshaw, like this Hall of Fame quarterback. He was just the man from the day one, right? It wasn't really like that. If you watch old NFL film stuff, you'll hear him talk about, yeah, they were trying to, you know, they did like, I think it was a 75 or one of their really great teams. He didn't even start the season as quarterback, believe it or not. Like a Super Bowl winning team. I don't remember which year it was, but yeah.
Anyway. So. But speaking of coaches, can we talk about Jim Harbaugh again? Because Michigan's just completely imploded.
Indiana this time. Yeah,
Indiana, yeah.
I think this was the first week I finally saw the how long do they hold on to Harbaugh stories being printed.
Well, you really got to ask at this point, because there was talk, and again, now this is a screwed up season, so honestly, to be fair to Jim Harbaugh and to pretty much every college coach out there at a big program, I don't know if this is the year you want to make a real strong assessment on anything, because it's just been so screwed up, you know. But at the beginning of the season, there was talk that the Wolverines finally had a national championship contender.
Mm-hmm.
And not if you're going to lose to Michigan State and Indiana, you're probably not a national championship contender. I'm just saying.
Well, like I would say that, you know, probably broadly it's best not to base anything off of this season, but with Jim Harbaugh, it's not like this is right. is an aberration. Like we've covered his failures extensively. So it, you know, this isn't out of the blue. This is just really the culmination of a lot of Harbaughing.
Oh, can I also say too that I don't know if this is true. Zach, you can verify this. Did Penn State lose to Rutgers?
Yes.
Oh, God, that warms my heart. Okay.
Penn State's 0-3.
By the way, I missed this. I missed this earlier. Chaos Blast asked, even though I live in the U.S., do I still call the 11th of November Remembrance Day? And then Michael Walker said that, you know, yes, in the U.S. it is called Veterans Day, but I still call it Remembrance Day. It just force of habit. So, yes.
Yeah, sure. Fair enough. Anyway, yeah, so...
Hard to find a poppy down here, Mike, though.
I brought a poppy with me when I moved, actually.
Did you get a poppy? They on Veterans Day, they have them, like, the guys out selling them in the streets. Or just, yeah.
I've noticed it's not as big a deal here as it is in Canada.
Yeah, it's not as ubiquitous here.
Really?
Yeah.
In Canada, everyone's got a poppy for, like, a month beforehand.
Oh, wow, that's nice. That's a good thing.
I don't know if it counts, but I ate a poppy seed muffin, so I don't know if that
might. Those are opioids.
It was delicious.
I did some opioids. Does that count? I'm kidding.
I did some black tar heroin. I don't know that.
Like I don't know if this has ever happened, or you know of anyone. But I remember in high school, there was one of my friends. He went to go take a drug test for a job he was getting, and he tested positive. I guess I'm so used to saying tested positive because of damn COVID. But anyway, the drug test came back as him taking opioids, and it's like, I just had a bagel. That's it. I ate a bagel.
You can still buy poppies in the store and plant them, can't you?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know.
Let's just stop seeing me from planting, like, I don't know, 500 poppies in my backyard and just come up with some prime opium.
Do you want to do the work?
Well, I don't know how to do the work. I'm just saying, I'm using myself as an example.
Between like planting a garden and becoming a drug dealer,
a drug lord.
Yeah.
So, according to this WinchesterHospital.org, so poppy seed containing foods, if large enough quantities are consumed, I assume if it's a bagel, they just really kick the shit out of it with all that stuff. Up to 60 hours. So you don't want to eat any of that stuff if you're going to be getting tested for a job.
Yeah, because no one's going to believe it was from a bagel.
No.
They're just not, which is unfortunate.
Well, I mean, they can't, you know, it's one of those things where you'd hope the employer would say, like, okay, well, we'll give it a couple of days. We'll try it again or whatever. But, yeah, you know, who the hell knows? It's like, do you see any track marks? Do I look like I'm strung out of shit right now?
But you know what, though? There's such a stigma attached to opioids now that even if it's just like a poppy seed bagel, people are going to run far and fast in the other direction because they're just such a, you know, it might have been a guy that had a tooth pulled and took like a couple of Vicodin to get through the pain, and that's all it was. And, you know, he tests positive for Vicodin use. They're going to think, well, he's a junkie. I don't know.
Well, like, I guess on this point, it just falls on, you know, you to be, like, smart about it and be like, oh, yeah, you know, the strict is coming up and be like, hey, full disclosure.
Right.
You know, I've had, like, a toothache and I've been taking painkillers, or, like, hey, I just had a sesame seed, you know, bagel, like.
Or I shot up some black sun heroin, yeah, whatever.
No, I did some heroin, so can we give this a few days? Just
I feel like whenever somebody starts off a statement with full disclosure, there's always gold after that.
Yeah.
It's always something, full disclosure, I just shit my pants. I'm not, you know, like it's always something good.
I can't make the presentation later today. I shit my pants.
Full disclosure,
I myself.
I am functionally illiterate. I just kind of wrote all over I just drew circles all over the application, but I'm a good man and I can push a plow.
I'm a good man from a good family.
Before it gets too late in the game here, we should do the wheel stuff.
Spin the wheel, make the deal.
Do the wheel and we can do the jerseys and get out of here.
Yeah, let's do it.
What are the jerseys? What are we talking
about?
The NBA. The NBA's.
Christ. All right. Jesus, I totally forgot. All right. So let me pull this up here.
It has been quite a week. That's okay.
Yeah, the
basketball jerseys. That seems like 2 months ago, doesn't it?
Yeah.
All right. You ready, Eddie? Let me find the screen.
Yeah, I'm sharing it there. So
there we go. Okay.
So last week, right now we've got a three-way tie at the top. Zach, Mike, Greg, 4-2 all. I'm in dead last at 3-3. Thanks.
Who did I lose last week? What was my game?
Dolphins, Cardinals.
I picked the Cardinals, didn't I?
You did pick the Cardinals, yeah.
I mean, that's a defensible pick.
Yeah, I think so.
And Mike got his toss up right, and Zach had a pretty close one there with the Giants. So this is going to be Zach's pick for spin the wheel, make the deal. Spin the wheel, make the deal. It is Seahawks and Rams. Not an easy pick.
Ooh.
Yeah. Los Angeles Rams, please.
Wow. Okay.
I appreciate that, Zach.
First place, baby. Let's go.
I respect it. I respect that pick.
I mean, I appreciate the homerism that went into that thought process, but
we saw the Buffalo Bills tear the shit out of the Seahawks this weekend.
No, you're right. You're right.
I think the Rams can pass a little bit, so I think they'll be okay.
Okay. This one's for Mike. Let's see who Mike gets. Spin the wheel, make the deal. Oh, and the hometown pick again. Well, not hometown pick, but his former favorite team, Chargers at the Dolphins.
Chargers at Dolphins. God damn, man.
The rookie showdown.
Rookie showdown, but I got to go with Dolphins. Now, granted, I'm perfectly willing to say the Chargers will have a 28-point lead at halftime, but that ain't lasting.
Speaking of the Chargers while we're here, they finally wore those Midnight Sun jerseys.
Oh, they looked horrible.
Yeah.
They were horrible.
I had a long discussion with my best friend. Terrible jersey opinions. He thinks that those are some of the best in the league, and he hates the powder blues.
Why?
Has he been smoking black tar heroin or what?
I don't.
Has he had one too many poppy seed muffins? Or?
Right.
I don't know. It's like, you're not going to convince me that the powder blues are good. I'm like, but they're the best jerseys in football. What are we talking about?
Yeah, like.
Oh, I'm sorry. I did play Ram at Chaos Blast. I'm sorry, but it wasn't on. Let me do it real quick. Here you go. There you go. Sorry about that. I was entertaining the hell out of myself over here, but okay. All right. Who's up next? Wait,
this is your Greg. This is your pick. Let's see who you got here. So we've had Zach's Rams, Mike's former Chargers. Broncos, Raiders. All right.
Oh, fuck. Raiders. Give me the Raiders.
Okay, that's probably the smart choice.
Yeah, I mean, the Broncos are pretty bad. Lost to the Falcons this weekend. Oof.
Oh, my God. That's horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Spin the wheel. Oh, have we done?
I got mine here. So the Eagles at Giants.
Oh, dude.
The battle for the soul of the NFC East.
I'll take
Is this a first place game now? God damn it.
No, I think even if the Giants win, they'll still technically be behind the Eagles because of that stupid tie.
I hate this division. I'll take
that. I'm choosing the Eagles so we can just all move on to talking about the new swag.
All right, who's got the jerseys? Should we
let me find them here. Are they on the mothership?
No, they're on the mothership. Yeah,
they're all up there.
All right, let me remove this computer.
God damn it! Why is the NFC? You know what? This division better reward us with our 6-10 division winner.
I think at this point, 6 wins is going to be tough to get to. Well, we might be looking at a 5 or 4 win team.
I was not ready to dare to dream about a 5. I thought that was maybe gilding the lily a bit too much, but you know, God, at this point.
I don't know. I think the Eagles might ruin it in the end somehow.
Garrett Gilbert, take the Cowboys to a 6-10 record to win this division. That's what I think.
You know, I will buy a Gilbert jersey if that happens.
Me too. I will. I absolutely will. T-shirt.
Or I'll wear my Dallas Cowboys division champion hat with my Orlando Apollo's Gilbert jersey.
There you go. All right. We're in the address of the stream. Here we go. Okay. Oh, well, that's not terrible.
No, the San Antonio one's good. I think that's one of the few legitimately like.
Yeah, I kind of like that one. Yeah.
Bringing back the Fiesta colors.
Yeah, absolutely.
Love the Fiesta stripes. I'm so glad they embraced them because, like, to me, that was one of the unique things about the Spurs when I was started watching the NBA in the 90s was that they wore black and silver and white, and that's it. But then on their court or some of their logos, they had that cool Fiesta streak, and I'm like, damn, that's really flavorful and fun, and now they're finally integrating it.
That confused the hell out of me as a kid playing, like, NBA Jam or, you know, like, just following basketball in general in the late 90s, just being like, what the hell's going on? This looks good. This looks like a perfectly acceptable San Antonio Spurs Ultra Universe.
And they got the Spur as the eye on the Antonio is pretty clever, and it's fine. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's San Antonio. Here's Toronto, which
I
is that the Drake color scheme, Mike?
Yeah, that's a Drake color scheme. Yep, I don't like it. I don't like the way Toronto looks in the 90s Raptor font.
I don't know if I would like this even if it was in normal colors.
Yeah. No. And there's such a disconnect between like the jaggedy 90s font of the name and the modern like really simplistic font for the numbers. Like not that, and we gotta move on from Drake, guys. So
global ambassador Drake.
He is global ambassador Drake.
I think that somebody like needs to tell Toronto. It's like, guys, there's more than 2 colors. You can go. You have a whole world of color you can use. And I just feel like that's unfortunately part of what Toronto's just become generally is like a 2-color jersey always. There's no like accents with purple. I think there are now maybe in the newer ones. I can't recall. But like anytime I see a jersey like this, it just feels cheap.
The new ones are just red and black, and they've taken the We the North chevron, like reverse chevron thing, and made that just say Raptors, which is like meh.
Yeah, that's about how I feel about this one in general. Meh.
Now, this is garbage.
Oh, boy.
This is real bad.
Oh, boy.
This is like it's like a youth league YMCA jersey that they give you for free.
Yeah. This is exactly what happens like when you play at the local Y in the youth league and they have like 5 teams and they're all named after NBA teams. Are they all the same jersey template where it just like has the name around a number? It's like, oh, you're the Knicks. Okay.
No, I definitely wore a purple jersey with white block numbers and called it the Jazz. Yeah. That's something that happened.
Yeah.
This has got a whole lot going on. You've got kind of a roundel happening there. You got some gradient working
in
there.
You got gradient in the roundel.
Right. The gradient roundel. That's a tough combination to pull off, as you can see.
I don't know if they pulled it off.
They didn't.
Necessarily.
No. They did not.
And I don't like the way that they've chosen to lay out the words in the roundel because it's not like equidistant.
New York Knicks is sideways.
It doesn't even start like up at the top. It starts like, I don't know, what, 10 degrees, like 1 o'clock.
Oh, yeah.
It reads to me, City Never Sleeps, New York Knicks.
Yeah.
Like, that's how it reads to me.
That's how I read it.
Like, this is all objectively horrible.
It's garbage.
This is, This is what happened. You know what pisses me off the most is that, first of all, this is clearly on somebody's like bed. They just threw this on their like crappy sheets, which the sheets, however, are better designed than the uniforms. I'll give the sheets that. But the other thing is that like people probably commented on the Instagram or whatever they posted this, where it was just fire, like 100 fire. Like people probably love this crap, but I don't know.
Objectively, the worst of all the things that have been leaked. Objectively, the worst one.
I'm not sure about that, but this is pretty piss poor.
You could go to the local Y and find a better jersey than that.
But seriously, guys, other than the San Antonio one, and we've seen a lot of these, we haven't got to them all yet. But I don't think any of these. San Antonio's is pretty good. The rest of them don't even look like NBA jerseys.
Quite frankly,
they
look
like something you'd win at the fucking carnival if you knocked down three cats with a baseball or whatever.
quite frankly, I liked the game we were playing. It's like, can you guess which team this is? It's like, yeah.
Johnny Love. All right.
That's
Bucks uniform here.
I mean, that's a fucking T-shirt.
It's not the jersey. It's just.
Oh, okay. Thank God. For a moment, I thought that Nike was doing Adidas's sleeve shit.
No, some of these leaks are just jerseys. It's Greek inspired for Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Seriously?
Because the flag is blue in Greece? Is that what that is?
The Greek flag blue and white, yeah.
Sorry, that's a long way to go.
No. So the Bucks signing of someone else, right? Like after the
yeah. But the Bucks have some blue. The Bucks do have some blue in their color scheme. They have,
but they shouldn't. That's the thing.
I thought it was fine.
I do agree with Mike in that I agree with both of you. It's fine as like a tertiary, quaternary color, but it is not.
You take the blue and you just kind of, it's a very gentle, rarely seen thing. But in this case, it's obviously, this to me is a microcosm of the NBA jersey scene as a whole, to where it's like every team is 18 different alts and they don't mean anything, and home jerseys don't mean anything. And nothing means anything as far as jerseys. It's all just marketed to shit.
LeBron James and the Cavs did this his first go around when they had like 13 different jerseys.
They did this the second go around too.
That's true. You're right. Yeah. So both times, it's their fault.
Thus, we forget the Land jersey.
Oh God. You know, I saw one of those in a TJ Maxx back before the world ended.
Yeah.
They still wanted $70 for that thing. I was like, this is $10. I'll give it to you, but not for 70, not yet. But I bet you they're probably cheaper.
Have you ever seen like a person just out and about wearing a Land?
In the wild? No, I have not.
Thank God. Okay.
Never. No. No.
Press it on?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. And the Washington Wizards.
Oh, I like the side panels, kind of. I dig those.
They're tacky.
Nah,
I mean it's Washington.
This looks like you buy at Walmart. Like,
right? At least we've upgraded from the carnival to Walmart at this point. So there's that, I guess.
I feel like if this was white instead of silver, it would look a lot better. But what you have here is you have some cool side panels that are kind of like old. To me, they're cool. I think there's a lot of room for opportunity there. But the horrible DC logo has never worked. It still doesn't work. You have these weird round fingers and sharp serifs on the D and the C. You have this weird compressed, like skinny number. There's potential, but it's mostly wasted.
We've talked about this before too. Like logos on the front of basketball jerseys don't work.
No,
and especially something like this, where like it's so much taller than it is wide, so it just like it doesn't look like it. It looks odd. They're like there's all this unused real estate.
Also, going just by this DC logo and how they seem to like it, Wizards, just be the Bullets again.
God damn it! Right, I was just going to say the same thing.
You're basically the Bullets again. Just be the Bullets again. God,
they can't though. You know that.
Why not? Well,
I mean, so there's opportunity. God,
violence.
But still.
So I don't see why you don't just go all around the city. This could be the Washington basketball team. Just kind of call it a day. Everyone's got, you know, Washington has no branding. They're just the basketball team.
But then you go to the Capitals, you have a perfectly fine name. You force them to rebrand because it's like, nah, sorry, we're like doing a thing citywide.
Well, they could be like the Capitals hockey team. How about that? The Washington Capitals.
Capital hockey team. Yeah. Capital Hockey Club.
There you go.
Or you just make it all caps. And it was this, you know, this all – the hockey team is in all caps. And then you're done.
I still think I'm going to go back to the Washington football team. We've given you your name. You just got to go with the 32s. That's a great name. It's a great identity.
It's really not bad.
No, it would work.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go, Zach. Defend.
Okay, so worse.
Here's my thing. When you consider what the, like everything that is the Lakers, I don't like it. But when like you think of in theory, so the reason that they're doing this and they're the Hardwood Classic one, which I'm sure we'll show at some point, it's their 60th anniversary of moving from Minneapolis to LA. And in the first, what was it, 6, 7, 8 years that they were in LA, they wore the blue and white.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some alternate universe where the Lakers didn't change their colors. This is what their jerseys would look like today,
mm-hmm.
most likely. And it also doesn't hurt them that the Dodgers also just won, so these things are going to sell like hotcakes. I don't like the silver. The silver really, really ruins it for me. But I get what they're doing otherwise, and it's fine. I hate the silver. Silver's bad.
What really makes me happy about this jersey is this. I don't know what the word would be. Sorry, my dogs are freaking out. What would you call these on the uniforms? The striping on the neck and the sleeve.
Striping, trim.
Trim. Like to me, this is every basketball jersey should have this. When it doesn't have this, I get irritated. And I hope that this is a trend that picks people up into doing this more with their uniforms. I mean, there's nothing really objectionable about it. You can nitpick some colors and stuff, but I mean, there's nothing really crazy going on with this. It's fine, but I mean, again, it's unnecessary. You're taking an already amazing, pretty much perfect brand and just fluffing it up for no reason because money. And I get it, but it's also to me pretty dumb.
The thing that this jersey does too, which a lot of these alternates actually do, which I like, is the collar shape. It's doing the traditional like hoop shape rather than these V-necks or like the hard angles and
stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like it's just a good basketball jersey. I just would prefer, I mean, it's basically what the normal jersey is, the blue and white, but
yeah,
it's fine.
But any other thoughts?
It's not the most objectionable one we've seen or will see, so
that's where I'm at. I've seen worse.
Yeah. In fact, let's get to two worse.
Ooh, this one I forgot about.
So this one, I don't like it for one reason only.
They don't play in Oakland.
You just moved from Oakland.
I think that also.
Finally, gonna wear these Oakland jerseys in San Francisco. Good job, Golden State Warriors. Well, I don't know where you play anymore.
I don't understand because you had the awesome, like the Warriors variant of this uniform was awesome. Like, just wear that with a modern cut and be done. Why bother with this Oakland crap? You know, like nobody.
I think all of this is because they are completely out of ideas at Nike. They don't know what the fuck to do next.
Just bite the bullet and do what Andy said and just wear a straight, like, oh, this is our late 90s throwback.
Well, but doesn't it look like we're getting to the point now where, like, this when we were talking about doing the new uniforms for the Warriors, I don't know how many years ago it was, and they went to the copper plate and all that.
Yeah.
This was, like, idea number 37. It was on the board. And they're like, well, we can't really use that, but hang on to it just in case. And we're down to, like, idea 37 now with every team. It's just, it's awful. It's just unbelievable. It's like, if you can't do any better than this, don't bother. This is like something I would design. It's not even as good.
It's not the design that bothers me. It's the whole.
Oh, I see.
Warriors of San Francisco, but sometimes Oakland when we feel like it.
I think it looks cheesy. It just looks like it. Again, it's a carnival jersey. It's because you can't get a licensed product. You can't get a third mark licensed product. So you go out to the screen printer and go, make me something that looks kind of like a Warriors jersey, and that's what shows up. Yeah,
I agree with you on that. It doesn't look this. Yeah, like
it's like what's wrong with this?
It doesn't have the personality of that. Like there's something missing.
Yeah.
All right, let me get this crap off the screen. There we go. Okay.
All right, moving on. Is that it?
No.
There's like two more articles of these things.
Let's see.
So there's
Oakland.
Oh, Christ.
There's all that one.
Is that there's more in the first page? Okay.
Go back up, and then click on like the sports logos news banner down.
Oh, another news.
Just the blue bar. Yeah.
Just click on the blue bar right there. There you go. There you got
it. How do I internet? All right. So
scroll down. and then wherever you see the NBA logo with a snorkel. There you go.
There we go. Okay. Ah, yes.
Oh, Jesus. Bulls. Really?
Yeah.
My Chicago Bulls.
Here's the thing. If this wasn't the Chicago Bulls, I think it'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, but it is.
It's got some good design. I'm a sucker for a good Art Deco look. This is great. It's just not.
If there was
a new Chicago basketball team coming in and they had these jerseys, I would be all down for them.
I think I'm with you, Zach. I love Art Deco too, but there's so much better Chicago-based Art Deco to choose from than that. Like, there's much better stuff. I think this is all right, but if you're going to go Art Deco, I mean, really go, you know, lean into it, but. I'm not crazy about this.
Is the no plans a reference to a famous quote that I'm not getting? I don't.
You're the one from Chicago. I wouldn't know.
It was a Chicago slogan from like back in that era, I think.
It is.
Architectural thing, I believe. I read something about this jersey.
Here's an article from 1992.
Great. Sorry. We have learned here at the Space Sports Show. 1992 news. Breaking here.
No. I read it with the picture of the damn jersey.
Yeah, it's Burnham. Do you know of a man named Burnham?
No.
Daniel Burnham, famous Chicago somebody.
Architect, right? Maybe it was on UniWatch I read about this. But yeah, they were talking about it. And it was,
yeah, he's a famous architect. Yeah.
You know what Chicago quote I believe? It's burning. It's all on fire. Like, that's what I would believe. Like, the reference to the great Chicago. But, like, this, for whatever reason, to me, it reminds me of, like in the chat, Jeremy said the same thing. It's if you're Hollywood, then Chicago. It kind of makes me feel like an old, like, 40s Hollywood or L.A. Like, I don't know. It just doesn't, it
yeah,
doesn't feel.
It was. That's what I mean. There's better Art Deco out there than this.
I think it's neat. Like, to Zach's point, like, it is a cool idea. And maybe in practice, these things will actually look pretty slick. But again, look, we got some trim here. That's an optimistic sign. I do enjoy that there is some proper trim. So good for them.
So I have a question about
the guy that made the quote, Daniel Burnham. He's responsible for the plan of Chicago, the master plan of Chicago back in the day.
Oh, the master plan. That's always a good way to describe things.
He also, in Chicago, he designed the Masonic Temple building. Is that still
now it's really getting weird.
Chicago School of Architecture. Yeah, it's an architecture thing.
I was gonna ask if the grand plan, the master plan of Chicago involved it being 1985 forever.
Okay.
If we could only make that work, yes. Okay.
You think about 85 Chicago, you had the Bears. There was a lot of movies that were based in Chicago back then.
Now,
for fuck's sake.
Would you like my thought on this one?
Sure.
If your jersey needs to include a comma, probably pretty bad.
Yeah. No, that's an accurate I'm fine with that as a take.
Is anyone that follows sports and knows the United States of America, do they need to be told that the Motor City is in Detroit, Michigan? Do you really need to know that?
Well, again, this is complete Walmart jersey. There's
I'm going with the Carnival jersey again. This isn't even Walmart level. This is bad.
Again, it says powered by Pistons at the bottom. But if you didn't have that on there, if you took off the NBA logo, this is just like a generic Detroit basketball jersey.
It's a Carnival jersey. It's what you win with the stuffed animal. Yeah, come on.
For whatever reason in my head, I read that as powered by piss, and it just felt like more appropriate.
That's Nike's design philosophy these days. Powered by piss.
Greg, to your point, this feels like you call it a Carnival jersey. I would call it a flea market jersey.
Yeah. Flea market. That's a perfect example of it. Yeah, flea market. Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
It just looks like third, fourth hand, like somebody again, like an alien.
They didn't even put any design to the words. They just put them on there in a circle. They didn't even draw the circle.
Hey man, this is the entire Indiana Pacers identity right here. So like, there's no. blame their asses. Like, it's just everyone wants to just.
Remember when the Pacers looked good?
But you know, you look at that though, like. You see that, and it's like Andy said, it's like this is a flea market jersey or a festival, fair, carnival jersey. you don't have the rights to use any of the stuff, so you do this instead. And I'm supposed to be honest about it. If this were a true flea market jersey, it would say Pistons across the top and all that, and they would just say, fuck it, we don't care. But, yeah, that's what it reminds me of. It's just they're not very – I don't even
– Is it better than the Knicks one?
Yeah, but they that's look, like saying is breaking
they,
your toe better than breaking your
– They look like two jerseys from the same youth league.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, I can't look at this anymore. I'm moving on.
No, we don't even
oh,
look at
the no!
No.
They thought it was so cool in white, and they thought that, yay, we definitely deserve to wear this, so we're going to make it black.
We deserve to wear this after that blown 3-1 lead. That was...
But you did, like, no, you don't get to do this.
We definitely represent the hard parts of L.A., like when we turtled to a team from fucking Denver. That was...
You had the chance to earn these, and you didn't even get to the dance floor, so... Sorry.
Can we just pack this fucking team up and move it somewhere else?
Back to Buffalo. Bring back the Braves.
Damn right.
Do it.
You know.
San Diego. They'd be fine.
Bring the Chargers back to San Diego. What's the other team? Just fold the Falcons and like give Atlanta an expansion team or some shit. Let's just straighten this whole mess out.
Again, we've gone over this. Like the old English lettering. It's like no one in Compton is going to accept you. And then the alternating blue and red like trim is bad. It's bad.
Let's go to Compton. Let's see between the Lakers and the Clippers, which team has more gear on display.
I guarantee you more of those white and blue Laker jerseys will sell them these.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it would be more interesting if they ran with the old English irrationally and did and like came out in uniforms that like look like this. Like if you really want to like own the old English
Clippers.
They're like it's like well shit, the Compton thing isn't working, but we invested all so much in all this old English merchandise. What do we do? It's
like ye old with an E, and then they would transpose the R and the E at the end of Clippers.
Right, yeah.
Ye old Clippers basketball.
Not club. It would be
merriment. It's because it's like a merriment. It's like a traveling troupe of bards.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely you're opening doors to some really racist stuff there. But like, I feel like it would be just very amusing to have them wear like cod pieces and kind of like just throw loaves of bread to the starving audience and stuff like that. I don't know. That'd be. Yeah, that sucks. That's stupid. They should hate.
You know, like PSAs about how to avoid the plague.
That's right. Okay. Here we go. Look at the. Yeah, right. That's funny, Mike. Good. Well done. It took me a minute. I had to like back up and catch it, but yeah, that was really good. You talk about your flea market jersey. Look at this shit.
This makes me sad. This jersey makes me sad because the Heat had such a good thing going with like the Miami Vice look.
Yeah.
Right. Like.
Yeah.
And then yeah. It's been reduced to this, and I just want to – why didn't you just let it be beautiful? Why didn't you just let it be perfect like it was? Why did you have to keep changing it until it became this?
Well, let me tell you why. Let me tell you.
Kill
I know exactly why. What was that?
They had to kill the golden goose.
No, I think what this is that they are using this, and they'll probably for another year or two. I think what this is actually a like testing. I think they're putting out different ones of these every year with different like thought experiments as far as how to do the design for when the next time the Heat get rebranded, it will absolutely be in this like this pink and blue black kind of color. And I think what they're trying to do is get an idea of how sales respond to each different kind. In each different variant to see like how they're going to handle the rebrand when eventually they get away from the Heatles kind of look. But yeah, this is stupid. Just on the whole, it's dumb.
Like, does it change color in sunlight?
When
it gets wet, does it like revert to the other color? Like what are those jerseys?
Great.
Like the, or the, not the jersey.
Like the sunglasses, they get darker and lighter in sunlight.
Like I'd be a lot more pleased with this if the backdrop on the numbers was solid, if the like depth was white or something. That'd be kind of interesting, at least. But again, this is not. It's just not for something that's as like ambitious as the idea behind it is. It's just not really well executed, and right. It's kind of bland. Okay, so the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, here. The rest of those are courts. We don't have to look at courts.
No, but still, that's kind of something we could look at here down the line. There's cool stuff going on in Portland, and
there's another leak article that you're still gonna go
yeah,
through.
Yeah, it was one more.
Damn. Okay.
Yeah, keep going.
No, scroll down, scroll down. Oh, yeah, that one, the Oregon.
That one, right, yeah. This was the one that got this whole thing.
What the fuck is this?
That's the Pelicans.
I strangely kind of like this. I don't.
It's the flag of New Orleans.
Yeah, but it's not. I don't hate it.
You think I would have known that after watching the geography guy.
I mean, I feel like the guy. I hate saying the guy. I don't know what player this is.
I don't know if that's a player.
Like, is that
that's a model? Yeah.
It's not Zion. It's just a dude. He yeah. looks really like he's been there all day, and he's like, "Is this you guys gonna keep taking the same photograph?" Anyway, it's I mean, I don't like this red paneling crap, but the it's fine. Oh, holy shit!
So I think Phoenix this should one. Be or. I think that you could have used this to, like, this is our, like, say, the Lakers, our California Wildfire jersey. Like, that's our tribute to that.
Oh, yeah, that does kind of, that is kind of what it looks like. Isn't it?
No, it's a desert sunset.
I thought this was a Jazz jersey when I first saw it.
Until I looked at it, and then, you know, you see the Phoenix Suns at the bottom. But, yeah, the Valley of the Sun. It's really only something that you know, like, if you live in Phoenix.
So we've had the north, the land, the bay, the district,
the
and now the valley.
The town,
don't forget the city.
The town and the city, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
We need the country at some point, and I don't mean country as in big city. I mean like the country as in out in the middle of the fucking boonies country.
Well, that's what the Pacers are for.
There's going to be a jersey that says the on it, and that's going to be the end of it.
It'll be an Ohio State jersey.
Oh,
yeah. No shit.
Hey, you that's know, I had to go back and make a reference to a show from like 4 weeks ago. We were talking about the number zero. I think Ohio State is now giving out zero for the O block, which is a section of a student section. And one of their defensive players was wearing zero last week. And it looked, we'll have to dig into it, but yeah. Anyway, okay. Moving along.
That's another
flea market jersey, by the way. I think
it's just like if you want to scroll back up here for a second, Andy.
Sure. Yeah.
It's just how many teams do we need to let them do the like pixelated skyline? Mm-hmm. Like Denver did it, Dallas did it. Now we're gonna let Phoenix.
The only one who should do it is Denver because they have like the precedent, like right. That was their thing for a while. So if Denver wants to do it, sure. But everyone else needs to just fuck off.
Yeah, like I think I like the colors.
Not to put too fine a point on it or anything, Mike.
Yeah. I don't know. But, like I would never think of the Phoenix Suns and say the Valley. It's just like, and I'm somebody that lived there. I get the Valley of the Sun, but like nobody, no. Anyway.
All right. This is the one that – it's like, really?
This was the one that made us ask the question, wait, who? What team is this?
Wait a minute.
You want to take a guess, Andy, without looking?
Oh, I know what team it is. I mean, it's the Portland Trailblazers. But, I mean, they're the – what I'm confused about is what is this? What is this?
It's some coloring. Tones on the thing to represent the nature of – the beauty of the nature of Oregon.
Whatever. Just
like Andy's like, just been completely broken. Like, well, whatever. It's make a hand jerky.
Like the Trailblazers have arguably like the NBA's most timeless and like perfected uniforms, and yet
well, I think they have one of not the best in the league. But
yeah, and then they have right like, up there for sure.
Is this supposed to be a tree cutting or a topographical map? Like, what is this line work back here?
Probably topographical map.
Okay. And then you have
– are you serious?
Maybe. I don't know.
I figured it was
have this Oregon tourism font that you've just slapped across.
What it is you guys know the Portland, like, sign?
With, like, no, I don't. Oh, it's the deer, right. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, deer, it's like yeah. It's a big neon sign. It's the outline of Oregon. It says Portland, Oregon. It has a giant electric deer. That's the same Oregon from that sign. So that's where they didn't just like make that up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But you know what pisses me off the most about this, more than anything, is that so Oregon? Yeah, because clearly what happened was the guy who sent the design into the sign maker, like he had the loop of the G finished down here, but then the guy put it into his like metal cutting program or whatever, and it cut off, and he printed it all anyway, and he's like, there you go, there's your sign. And they were like, wait a minute, you cut off the fucking G. Where's the rest of the G?
It looks unfinished. I thought it was a mistake in the picture, but that's the way it's supposed to look?
That is the way it's supposed to look.
Oh, jeez.
That is a lie. That is a complete... somebody fucked up.
And then they're like, hey, you know our stupid sign that's broken? Let's put it on a jersey.
Right?
Well, again, but like you look at this, and yes, okay, Oregon, Portland, but team colors, design, there's nothing in here that makes me think... Oh, yeah, Portland Trailblazers.
Yeah,
know what? If you're going to do this stupid idea, go all the way. I know it like treads into the Bucks territory, but put the deer on. Like, if you're going to fully commit to the stupid Oregon sign, like.
Yeah, at least do like a neon or whatever that thing. It wasn't neon exactly, but yeah, go that route at least for Pete's sake. Yeah.
I find it very arrogant that we will always be here. Well, these jerseys won't be here, man. These jerseys are going.
Here,
so look at this.
I have the team article. Let me see if I can find the thing. According to the team, the uniform celebrates the unique beauty of Oregon's landscape, as well as acknowledging and honoring the tribal nations throughout what is now considered Oregon.
Where? Oregon's how?
From the beginning. Hold on. Let me see if I can find it. I'm sure there's a whole thing. The Oregon stitched across the chest of the uniform in an iconic font. The earth tone colors were chosen to represent the beautiful landscape of Oregon. Then a thing about the jersey sponsor will donate some of the jersey sales to the Native American Youth and Family Center. That's nice. Oh, that's it. Oh, no. More details about the uniform are available at this link. So let's they have a whole thing.
Oh, okay.
NBA.com/Blazers/uniforms.
Oh God.
Let's dive into it.
They've got a presentation.
Oh Jesus.
What the
celebrating the beauty of Oregon, acknowledging the tribal ancestors, picture perfect scenery.
What?
Celebrating Oregon stitched there.
Our home, our team.
Yeah. Let's see. Honoring the tribal nations throughout what is considered Oregon. Okay, so the same thing that they just said. Okay, so
okay, but how?
More pictures.
Where? How? What do they
do? You see, Mike, those triangles represent either trees and or tribes, I think.
We put some triangles on an alternate jersey we will wear like five times. Do you feel honored, Native American community?
Oops. Let me take that down. Sorry about that.
Sorry.
Like, that is... That is just some dumb bullshit. That is,
yeah. I don't. What irritates me most principally is that you have athletic block, random cursive script font, and then arched like baby. Like too many fonts, too much shit. It's all crap.
So we're actually not done. There's one more thing we gotta click on.
Oh my God! What now?
So go back. Go back.
Oh my God! How much NBA does
scroll down and go to the next page? This is really great for all those listening to the podcast.
Yeah, we're literally looking at the boards. Okay.
And then right there. If you read the thing, it's based on some Brooklyn-based artist, Jean-Michel Basquiat.
Yeah.
Started as a street artist in the 70s.
Just forget it.
What?
Just forget it.
Man, come on.
There's nothing.
What
I mean,
what is this?
It's
art, Mike.
No, this is what happened. This is what would look like if I, you know, was, I don't know, like 11 and I had like some markers out and I was like, I gotta draw the Brooklyn Nets jersey. And then I got bored and added like just colors to it. Like,
that's my nephew would do it. He's 12. He'd do a way better job than that.
This is art. This is high art.
Is it?
No, it's not.
Uncultured swines.
Again, like I feel like there is potential in really making interesting use of side panels in the fishbone, but this is just trash. Like this sucks. Like if you're gonna go with art and the colors and stuff, like you've got to be restrained and you've got to have some sort of measure. But like when you just go whole hog.
What are those things around nets? There's like one of them is like a, well, it's like a parenthesis.
I think that's the back. What do they call that? The circle around the key.
It represents the duality of man, Mike.
Or that
does it?
I don't know, man.
I thought it was supposed to kind of resemble a basketball court, like you have like the circle behind the foul
line. That's a really generous reading of that.
I'm trying to stay on the reservation here.
The thing on the right side is a bracket, like a playoff bracket, and as you see, the nets suck them up the ground.
Oh, okay.
Whatever.
That's a good one.
I can't.
And if you scroll down, of course, you'll see that they've made a crown over the NBA logo.
That's for Biggie, right? That's a Biggie thing.
Yeah, it's a Biggie thing.
That's the closest the Nets are getting to like a World Champions logo right there. And then we got the Dallas Mavericks abandoning the concept of team colors just altogether.
The gold Ranger uniforms here.
This is our tribute to the World Football League.
What?
It reminds me of a World Football League jersey. The old league. You'd have to see the stuff. I'm sure it's on the mothership somewhere.
It's supposedly the goal is to celebrate the team's 40th anniversary.
Oh, whatever.
Isn't gold a 50th anniversary thing?
That's what I thought too. Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Okay.
The 40th anniversary is like bronze.
Maybe that's why it's gold and silver.
Fuck off, Dallas. Just go away.
I'm sorry. This
keep messing around with shit like this, and you're going to end up being moved, too.
Look, Mavericks.
I'm sorry. It's the White Ranger. not the Gold Ranger. This is definitely the White Ranger uniforms.
Look, definitely the White Power Ranger, yeah.
Mavericks, just go back to the stupid uniforms with the M with the cowboy hat. Like... just be that forever. Nobody cares.
That looks like something from like – that's like a bad ABA team. It's like, well, this is all the budget we had, so we throw these together quick and have something to wear.
I mean, I know we're running long. Are there no more jersey updates?
Those are all the NBA ones, unless you want to look at the neon vomit that the Dallas Stars put out.
Let's save that one. I'll save a minute.
We got to end the show with this, guys. We got to do a little plug real quick here.
Fabric
of the game by our very own Chris Creamer,
Lord and Master.
Yeah. And I want you to
praise be to his name.
I want you to take note. Who did the foreword to this book?
Lanny McDonald,
baby. There you go. So there you go, Cass Blast.
I definitely want to get my hands on that book because it seems like all the little previews that Chris has put online look awesome.
Yeah,
I think we should have Chris on the show to talk about it. It wouldn't be hard to add him to one of these, so maybe we should do that. But there you go.
Right,
Fabric of the Game by our very own Chris Creamer and Todd, is it Radom? Is that how you say his last name?
Radom,
whatever. Yeah. With a foreword by Lanny McDonald. Fuck me. I mean, you can't get any better than that. So it's available, I'm sure, wherever fine books are sold. And there you go, Chris.
Chris, he's not gonna do any of this bullshit like the NHL did, where it's like the Chicago Blackhawks have had the same uniform from like 1950 to now. It's like, no, he knows his stuff. So
I'll be damned, like it's available on Amazon in hardcover for like $23. Like for a hardcover book, that's insane.
And you guys will find that as deep as we go into this shit, we're just the surface. We're like his disciples. This guy really knows his stuff. So
yeah.
Well worth a look.
It's supposedly got like just great info and as well like a great coffee table book with images and that's definitely on my Christmas list for sure.
Yep,
like
for sure. Absolutely.
I definitely need that.
So we should try to get Chris on to talk about this too, let him plug his book a little bit.
Definitely. Let's do it.
He needs our giant audience compared to his own, right?
Yeah.
All right, we got anything else, boys?
No, I'm done.
Let me get us set up ready to close out the deal here. Okay. Well, if that's it, we'll call it a night.
Sounds good.
It'll be a nice, hopefully a nice quiet week, guys.
Hopefully.
Nice.
Well, that's the thing. Is there's besides the weekends, there's no sports during the weekend.
Isn't that weird?
I know we went like months. Well, we had that time where there was nothing.
It's backwards.
And then we had everything for like 2-3 months.
Yeah.
And now it's just football. That's it.
It's backwards now. It's like this. It's supposed to be the other way around.
Of course, we should be at the start of the NHL and NBA seasons, but
NBA says it's going to start on the 22nd of December.
I'm sure they think they will.
On an optimistic note, we will close the show. Or we'll close the show on an optimistic note for those of you that speak English. According to some stuff I was reading today, Pfizer says that their vaccine is 90% effective.
The early tests of their looking first good. Large group were 90%. So
looking real good, and who knows, maybe we'll get some relief from all this, and we'll maybe this time in a few months, sports will be kind of back to normal, which would be nice. So anyway. All right, guys, that's gonna do it for us. Follow us on Twitter at Basically Sports, subscribe via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Spreaker, YouTube, and wherever fine podcasting is sold. We will see you next week.
Latest.
Bye.